I'd have you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3. In this portion of God's Word, the Apostle Paul is offering to the Lord a very sincere prayer. And in this prayer, which commences in verse 14 through to the end of the chapter, I would like to commence reading, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." That inner man needs to be strengthened. He said in his word, "Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If yours is not renewed every day, it'll catch up with you. We need the renewing. And tonight, ere we come to the close of this service, we'll give you some of God's secrets for this spiritual rejuvenation and revival in our hearts. Notice how he says it. We are strengthened with might. How? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Next, that isn't all the prayer. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." He not only wants to dwell with you, but he wants in you. Faith is the key to entrance. These are already saved people. They were saved, in fact, to matter in the first chapter. Second chapter, he tells us how that the grace of God was made manifest to them. And now a new entrance in how to dwell in that relationship to him closely, so that we, by his indwelling, will be rooted and grounded in love. No one can push us away. We're anchored in love divine. Next in the prayer, "And be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." That is a prayer that I never heard the like. We be filled with the fullness of God? Full of God? Can't be anything better than that. I'll tell you this, when anybody pokes me, they're liable to run into God. Amen. Anybody cut me down, they're running into God. This is God's property. Filled with God. And I'll assure you one thing, when we're full of God, we sure won't be full of other things. And when we get so full of God that the devil can't dump any of his garbage in on us, false doctrine, thank the Lord he can't put in any lying, any cheating, any stealing, any deceitfulness, any lust of the flesh, and there I'm just so full of God. Anything try to dump in there, it just flushes off. He wants me to be full of all the fullness of God. Listen at it. Furthermore, the result of this being in verse 20, which is our text, "Now unto him that is able." Able to what? Do exceeding, able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church of by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. Tonight I'd like to ask you a question. Dan gave to you in chapter 38 of Job, and if he'd have gone on into 39 and into 40th chapter of Job, God asked Job 40 questions. Job couldn't answer one of them. Modern science today can answer 6.5. I'm just going to ask you one question. This question is going to determine how you answer it, your success or your failure as a Christian. So think on it carefully. Think on it closely. It's a big question. The question is this: how big is your God? How big is your God? How big is your God, preachers? How big is your God? Paul, how big is yours? He's up there in glory tonight. And he said, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly. If there are any school teachers here, you know you don't just take two superlatives and just stick them there right side by side. That's kind of like looking like something of exaggeration. Exceeding abundantly. He said, by taking those two words together, my God, I don't have a language to just pull it all together and say it in a simple way. Language breaks down. He said, but what he can do is exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. You and I can ask a plenty, and we can sure think a plenty. But God is able to go past all we ask and all we think. He said one day through Jeremiah, I am the Lord God. Is there anything too hard for me? And I like the way that Jeremiah answered him. In this Bible, the Lord God of all flesh wants you to really know him. Know him in a way that you are so closely knit together him in love, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, filled with all the fullness of God, because this gives you power. Do you know in this marvelous verse of Scripture that most of us have never tapped into, that brings success to us as Christians or defeat to us if we haven't tapped in well, there is something in here that is a key to the whole verse. He is able to exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think, but he messes the whole beautiful statement up with that last part. What is it? According to the power that worketh in us. God is able to. But wait. According to the power that worketh in us. The second part of that question is, how big is your God? How much power is working in you? He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think, but in proportion to, in the measure of the power working in us. Powerless Christians are defeated Christians. You and I cannot walk in a world like this one without power. We cannot afford to leave here tonight without power. We've got to have it. When I read about the Lord Jesus, he said, you shall receive power. When? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. What for? Until you be endued with power from on high. Children of God, a powerless church can find people coming here that are bound by demon forces, bound by sicknesses and diseases, bound by drugs, many other habits. And until we have the power of Jesus Christ in us, we can't release it into them. We can talk about a great big God and preach a dynamite gospel, but when they come in here, they say, well, those people live in firecracker lives. They're all noise, but no power. When the Lord Jesus came down from a mountain one day, Mount of Transfiguration, he had three inner circle disciples with him. These are men that were there because they wanted to be there. They saw him in the glory and the majesty that he had with the Father before the world was. They couldn't even look on him when the glory came down. They hid their faces. Cloud overshadowed. A voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And when the cloud lifted, the Lord Jesus comforted their hearts. took them down the mountain after they'd been in that glory scene and felt the real power of God. They went down to the base of the mountain where were 9 disciples of Jesus. They were attempting to break the hold of Satan on a boy. That demons would throw him in the water. And they were so mean, they would throw him into the fire to destroy him. The devil's a thief. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the father brought this boy of his to the disciples. And they said, would you please cast that spirit out? If you check back your Bible very carefully, you find that it was just 3 chapters before this, they had been filled with the power of Jesus. Jesus said, I give unto you power over all of the power of Satan, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I give unto you power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. Freely you received, freely give. But what's happened? We find here it is, a nucleus of 12 disciples in all, 3 with Jesus, 12 disciples ought to have been all together. If they'd have been with Jesus up there on the mount, they'd have come down from the mount a lot better than they were doing what they were doing. 3 went down, 9 down there, trying their best. God loved their hearts. They tried, they commanded, they used the name of Jesus, and they scolded those devils, and they prayed, and they cried to God, but nothing happened. It is kind of like they represent a powerless church in a perishing world. People brought to us need deliverance. We need the power of God. We can say we got it, but until we produce deliverances, people are not going to believe in us. If we don't have power to live right, people won't have confidence in our salvation. We talk about Jesus. He is the great I Am. He's the Son of God. He's got all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus lives in me. Since he lives in me, I got power too. What are we doing with the power? It shouldn't be wasted power. It should be power with a purpose. Many people have lost the power because they didn't use what God had given to them wisely. They may have taken it to glorify their own lives, to exalt their own personality. I don't know how these boys lost it exactly. I know I got a good idea. Jesus said in answer to their question when they got alone with him, they said, Master, why couldn't we cast him out? They were sincere. What did Jesus say? Because of your unbelief. Because you were not really believing. You're saying the right words, but your faith wasn't released. Children of God, we may have the right words, but if we haven't got the faith of God working in us, the words without faith are powerless words. Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. Why? Because there's faith in there. Shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say. He didn't say pray, he said say. And if that's too big a dose for you, then go to verse 24 in Mark chapter 11. Verse 24, he said that when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whether you say or pray, saying is at the top of the list. Jesus could say to a blind man, receive thy sight. He could say to the man of dropsy, stretch forth thy hand, and it restored whole. He had the power. And the power brought deliverance. We've had people come to the altar here that are their shipwrecked humanity. Bound by Satan, bound by sin, bound by fear, bound by worry. And they left out of here just with faces shining, rejoicing in Jesus Christ, because I want you to know when he comes in, the devil goes out. But I want you to know, children of God, we need to be linked up to him in such a way that we get results when we pray. Every unanswered prayer is a faith killer. We do not want to be mocked. God doesn't want to be mocked. I do not want to bring dishonor to him by claiming what I don't have. You don't want to bring dishonor to the Lord in claiming what you don't have. But I do know this, children of God, that we are a people that need the real, genuine power of God working in our lives. It's not what we were, it's not what we had, it's what we have now that's going to count when we leave on out of here. Look, when the Lord, the only time that I ever know the Lord complaining is found in the book of Psalm 78 and 41. And the reason why the Lord complained, he complained to the children of Israel, he said, here's what you have done. You have limited the Holy One of Israel. You've tried to tie my hands. You try to shackle me. You've hindered me. You have limited me. I have a lot of things I wanted to do for you, but I couldn't. Jesus, when our Lord was down here in the city of Nazareth, he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief, saving that he healed a few sick people. How big is your God? In unbelief, we could say what the children of Israel said. They said over there in Psalm 78 and 19, yea, can God furnish a table in this wilderness? Unbelief says, can God? Faith says, God can. Just the reverse. How do we know? In 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 9, King Amaziah asked the man of God, what shall I do about these 100 talents of silver that I gave to the children of Israel to help me to fight against the enemy? And what did the man of God say? God can give you much more than this. God can. Hallelujah. When the three Hebrew children were confronted by old Nebuchadnezzar, that big dude, he said, I want everybody to bow your knees to me and to my image. When you hear the flute and the dulcimer and the sackbut playing, everybody bow. Three Hebrew children wouldn't. They had some guys peeking around there, and they said, we found out there are three fellows over here that won't bow, King, to your image. So he said, I'm going to give you a second chance. And you know how they answered him? If it be so that you're going to cast us into this burning fire first, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us, O King, out of your hand. That made him furious. So he threw them into that burning fiery furnace, and you know the Lord went in there with them. They didn't get burnt, nor did the Lord. And they walked out of there, not a hair of the head singed. That's how big my God is. That's how big those boys' God was. Not a hair of the head singed. Not even the smell of smoke on their bodies. The only thing that was burned off of them, hear it now, Lord have mercy. How big this God is. The only thing that was burned off their bodies were the ropes that they had tied around them. That's the only thing that could burn. Their clothes didn't burn. Hair not singed. Nor even the smell of smoke on them. In fact, imagine they walked right around in the middle of that old fiery furnace. Just walking around. Bless God forever. Keep on walking around in there. Walking around. Amen. Bless God, you know you can walk when you got God. And when you know him, he's big God. Bless God, they said this way, our God, when he goes in there with us, he can do anything. He can make fire not burn. Hallelujah. They walked through the Red Sea. When they started marching toward that Red Sea, thing just parted. And the water just piled up, just like you were stacking cordwood. And a great big wall on one side and a big old wall on the other side. And it must have been around 4 miles wide because they said that to get 2.5 million people to go through in one night, it have to be about that wide. So think of it, 4 miles wide. Now God does exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. What did God do? The second thing in that exceeding abundantly, he not only piled up water. You try to pile up water. Bless God. He not only did that, but he says, east wind, come on over here. That's mud down there. I don't want my children to get their feet all muddy. Come on, wind, go to blowing. And they didn't blow anywhere else but down through that wide path that God had made for them there, and blew all night long and dried up. And the Bible says in Exodus 14, 21 and 29, they walked through on dry ground. How big is your God? How big is he anyhow? You got a little old dinky God? Hey, you had a hard time saving me. Pray that I'll hold out to the end. Got too many holding out now. I'm serving the Lord in my weak way. Isn't that a marvelous testimony of the great power of God? I'm sure the Lord's really proud of you. How big is your God? Paul, how big is yours? He said, he is an able God. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's the kind of God he had. Say, I'm going to get tapped out into that God. Amen. One day, a fellow by the name of Obadiah, bless his heart and liver too. Obadiah was working in the court of Ahab. He didn't have very good atmosphere to have be around there, but he was still in the court of the king. And one day, King Ahab says, Obadiah, Elijah's somewhere. We've got to find him. He's an enemy to our place, our kingdom. I believe he is the one that is guilty of causing us not to have rain. That dummy. If that man had enough power to turn off the water faucet up there, I'd want to get in contact with that man to help and not blister him and blast him. He said, we got to get him. And he sent out Obadiah a hunting for Elijah. And he went out himself. And he had a whole bunch of his court a hunting for Elijah. And he went even from kingdom to kingdom and from nation to nation. And they said, no, we haven't seen anything of him. I tell you, when God hides you, you can't be found. You know this? They hunted everywhere for him. And he even got so sincere about the matter. He said, listen, I want you to put in writing that you haven't seen or heard anything of him. And if you do, you will report to me immediately. They put her in writing. I mean, they were serious about that thing. They hunted high and low for him. They couldn't find him. I'll tell you where it was. He's over at the brook Cherith. And I want you to know that with no rain, 3.5 years, no rain. God said to Elijah, because you want a revival in this nation, these people who wandered far from you and are lost out with me, I give you power. Shut up, heaven, or turn it on. At your word, it'll rain. At your word, it won't rain. He said, Lord, you give me that kind of power. I want a revival so bad, and I know this, that when the judgments of God are in the land, the people are in righteousness, so we're going to ask you to just turn it off. Get these people on their knees and get them praying. Do you know this? That little man of God, lonely man. Here is Ahab and all of the 450 false prophets and the prophets of the grove, 850 of those boys all together, of the Jezebel's court of religious leaders and the people were all assembled on Mount Carmel. Everybody's awaiting. For who? Just one little man. A man that had a big God. And when Elijah walked up that mountainside with the dignity of a child of God, he could look old King Ahab in the face, and when he saw Ahab, he said, have I found you, O my enemy? He said, I'm not your enemy, but your wicked ways, you have turned from God and turned this whole nation from God and living in sin. How long will you halt between opinions? If the Lord's God, follow him. And if Baal is your God, follow him and go to the devil. He said, we're putting this thing on record. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. They would have preferred if it was God that answers by rain, let him be God. They didn't need fire around the law. Me, they've been in a depression, in a drought for a long time. But you know, God's people have a different way of doing things. God that answers by fire. And they said, all right then. I wish those old 850 preachers said, I wish we hadn't come on up here. This is embarrassing to us. It's about time that those who are false prophets get embarrassed. And he said, I'll let you boys have first chance. And so they started in a praying. They built them an altar. And they started in a praying, oh Baal, oh Baal. And cried and they yelled and they screamed. They even got desperate that they jumped on the altar. And that didn't do any good. They even got lances out and cut themselves. And blood was squirting out everywhere. That didn't do any good. And they prayed and they prayed and they cried out there for over half a day. Finally, when their time was expired, they'll turn over Elijah. He just walked on up there and he rebuilt again the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Those 12 stones represent the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. He put a sacrifice on the altar and he said, listen, men, I want you to get me 4 barrels of water. Barrels of water, what for? I want you to pour this water on this altar, on this sacrifice, and on the wood, and just saturate it good. Well, they thought, that's a good idea. Sure. Crazy preacher, what won't he say? Well, we know that thing can't burn. What kind of a God could make water-soaked sacrifice and water-soaked wood and water-soaked stones? Well, who could ever set that thing on fire? Why, he'd messed himself up. Oh, no, not when you're walking with God. The God of heaven does the impossible. And he looked at it after they brought 4 barrels. Hey, listen, they've been in a drought. They haven't had any rain for long. Why, water's as scarce as hen's teeth. 4 barrels of water are poured. He said, that's not quite enough. He said, go and get me 4 more barrels. The wind got 4 more. Poured it on. He said, it's not quite enough. It isn't saturated enough. So they got 4 more barrels and put it on there and they began to pray. He prayed a little old dinky prayer, a minute and 3/4 long. By the time he got through with that praying, the fire of God came down to consume the sacrifice and the wood and even burned up the stones and even licked up the water in the big trenches round about there and even burned up the dust. Now figure that one out. The God of the Bible is the God of miracles, the God of the supernatural, the God of the impossible. One dear preacher said that we never, ever test the resources of God until we believe for the impossible. This church that you are in tonight, in the natural, would be impossible to build. But God and a person or persons of faith can see the impossible come into being before their eyes. Listen, this God of this Bible said, call upon me. Why? I will show you what? Great, that isn't enough, and mighty things. That's great. Which you know not. Things you don't even know a thing about. That's what I'm able to do. When? When you call on me. How many of us have been calling lately? Amen. God will do what he said. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man he should repent. Listen. I saw a man, that old Nebuchadnezzar, that same boy, when he saw what God did for those Hebrew children in that fiery furnace, he said this, I will praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are done in truth and his ways in judgment. And those that walk in pride, listen to Nebuchadnezzar talking now, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. God took him down off his high horse. What was he doing? He reared back like a rooster ready to crow, and he went and looked over his kingdom, and he said, this is great Babylon that I have built. All of these hanging gardens, I've done it. All these powerful, big, wide walls, high walls, I've done it. And after he got through crowing, there's a God up there in heaven heard everything he's saying. And God took his sanity away from him and gave him the heart of an animal. He started eating grass like an ox or a cow. And when he began groveling around there, they just run him out of the place into the woods. And there he was. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years plus.
and he ate grass. His fingernails grew like they were bird claws. His hair got long. He was the first hippie. And you can see who hippies are. People lost their sanity. And you know, finally, one day after the dew of heaven had come down upon him, many days, he regained his consciousness, his sanity. And he saw what had happened to him, and he said, "Say, God warned me about getting puffed up with pride. I got a warning from the prophet Daniel. He said this was going to happen to me. If I didn't shape up, I would have to ship out." And it happened. And what does he now do? He bows in reverence to God, the great God of heaven. He said, "There's no God like him. I extol him." I like that. Not only do I extol him, I honor the King of heaven. He was a king down here, but he now getting acquainted with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I look a little further in that same book, and you know there's a man by the name of Daniel. God love his heart. This man knew God. This man was loyal and true to God. They passed a law that said no one can pray in this nation to any god but to the King Darius. The only one you can pray to. That pleased the king. They kind of flattered him a little bit. So he signed the writing. Daniel was one of the three main presidents of the land, and they were plotting to get him. One thing about it, they were jealous of him. Here is a Jew boy, put up there in the big, high position to run the government of that land of Babylon. And they wanted his job. They couldn't stand his praying, but that king loved him because he had another spirit with him. Have you got that another spirit with you? It makes you act different, talk different, and people can sense that you really are different because you're new creatures. And the king loved him. And when he saw what had happened, he made a decree. And Daniel was caught. People snooping around his house. How many snoop around your house to find out if you're praying? The reason why we pray is because we need power. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. And much prayer, much power. It works just like that. Daniel's a praying man. And they said, law passed and you can't pray. He said, if I don't pray, I'll lack power. If I don't pray, I'll be just like the rest of these folks around here. I've got to pray. I got to stay in contact with headquarters. And nobody's going to stop me from this joy and this pleasure. Even for 30 days, I can't afford to be out of touch with God for 30 days. He kept praying. He got caught. You know one thing he did? He opened his windows toward Jerusalem on the west. And he prayed with his windows open. I'm sure if that a law was passed in this land, you can't pray for 30 days, we'd be praying, whisper our prayers to ourselves, just like we do when we go to a restaurant and pray over our food. If we pray at all. And you know, he prayed with his windows open, prayed toward Jerusalem. Why? Because he knew that in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, Solomon had a prayer. He prayed before God. He said, "Oh Lord, whenever any of the children of Israel are in trouble, wherever they're at, if they look toward this holy temple and pray toward this place where you dwell, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and deliver them." Jonah did that too. You remember? My, you never saw a man pray in a place where he was. In a whale's belly. He said in his heart, "Say, if I don't get out of here," why, he could have had all kinds of diplomas. He could have had a preacher's exhortus license. He could have had an ordination papers. He could have had a doctorate degree from any number of colleges. He could have had a whole bunch of diplomas. They wouldn't help him in that whale's belly. But it helped you to know God. And Jonah did know God. And he got into a prayer meeting. And he prayed up a storm in there. And you know what he said? "I'm going to look toward thy holy temple." Now, how do you know what direction it was? It isn't what direction your eyes are looking, it's where your hearts are looking. And he prayed toward that holy temple. And you know, he prayed through to victory. And God just had to speak to the whale. God can talk whale language. I said, God, in this Bible, it's big. He talked to whale. He says, whale, you know who you got in you? He was a backslidden preacher. Does all that make anybody sick? But he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take him special delivery. Now, if you find out where he was going, to Tarsus, which is west of Jerusalem, through the Mediterranean Sea, up there toward Italy, and that whale had to take him all the way down that Mediterranean, all the way down there through the Nile, right on down there to the Indian Ocean, right on around over there, up to the river Euphrates, and on up the river Euphrates, and over there to the city of Nineveh. Well, that was a long trip. He got a free ride. God directed that whale to go where he's supposed to go. He's supposed to go in there in the first place. But now, mind in God, the supernatural is done. Jonah, I didn't think he knew that God was going to do that for him, give a free ride over there, right to the place where he's supposed to go to preaching. But he did. Because God's a big God. He said, I don't believe that. You don't have to. That don't make the Bible wrong because you don't believe it. Your unbelief won't make the truth of God a lie. Nor will it diminish God's power. Hallelujah. And Jonah, your 3 days journey up there to the city to go to preaching. You know how long? Hey, he's a good runner. I mean, when you got God on you and you prayed through, he made it in one day. And went up there and he preached up a storm. And the people believed his preaching. Had a revival rake out there. Because God got a hold of a man and made that little man a big man. Glory to his name. How big is your God anyhow? Is he a little old dinky puny God? Can't do much for you. He isn't the God of the Bible then. But I want you to know this. John the Baptist is a preaching. He's as good a Baptist preacher as I ever heard. Bless God, you know what he said? You generation of vipers! Lord have mercy. Who? Why, listen, John, wait a minute. Take her easy. These people have left all of the cities of Judea and have gone out into the wilderness to hear you. They don't even have seats to sit on, cushioned pews to sit on. They're out here in this blazing hot sun. They've come a long way to hear you, and that's the way you're going to preach to them? He said, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Think not to say in your heart, we have Abraham to our father. For God is able to take these very stones on this ground here and raise up children unto Abraham. Now you figure that one out. That's the God of this Bible. That John the Baptist got hold of him. He knew he'd got a power. Bless God. One day, bless the Lord forever. There were two blind men. And those blind men were following Jesus. And they were crying out to him to heal them. And Jesus acted like he didn't pay them no mind, like he didn't hear them. He just kept going until he got into the house. And when he got into the house, those men are following him. He said, what do you want? They said, Lord, that we might receive our sight. What did he ask them? Do you believe that I am able to do this? How did they answer? Yea, Lord. He said what? According to your faith. You see, that comes right in our text. According to your faith, in proportion to your faith, you'll get your eyes opened. A little bit of sight, because you got a little bit of faith. Got a lot of faith, then you get full sight. How is your faith tonight? According to your faith, be it unto you. Say, that's something. Say, I'm going to have to build my faith up. The scripture says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What's the next part say? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You got to get good connected to the Holy Ghost. It'll help our prayer life. Because he gives the spirit of prayer. Amen. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If your prayers are powerless, get better connected to the powerhouse, the Holy Ghost. Your prayers get through better. Well, I'm going to check up on something here. God, how big are you anyhow? Abraham, how big is God to you? He said, I am fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is also able to perform it. Now look, here is Abraham without a young'un. God promised him a young'un 25 years before. Better late than never. He's 75 then. And, you know, he waited 5, 10, 50, 20, 25 years. Sarah's now 90 years old. And, you know, Abraham said, I talked to God. And God talked to me. And he says, Sarah, about this time next year, we're going to have a baby in our house. And you're going to have that baby. She said, huh? What? And she left. And there's an angel out there. I says, Abraham, how come Sarah laughing in there? And you know she did. She said, I ain't done it. I didn't laugh. She only did it in her heart, but I tell you, God's so big, he can hear your heart when it's laughing in unbelief. But Abraham says, we're going to have it anyhow. I am fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able. And one day he said, Sarah, how you feel? I said, no different. No different. He said, I'm going to have it anyhow. Sarah, you know what we ought to do? What? He said, I think we ought to go down to the department store and get us a baby bed, baby clothes, booties, bonnet. Got to get some bottles. Get the whole works. I don't know, he's 100 years old, and sometimes people 100 years old do think funny things. But he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he is able to perform. How do you take this Bible? Do you believe that what God says, he'll do it? When you release your faith into the Word of God, you know what you're doing? You're not only pleasing God, for without faith it's impossible to please him, but you're doing something else. You're tacking on to your records in heaven. Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. You read it again and he says it was accounted, because it accounted and imputed the same thing. He said it was accounted to him to righteousness. God credits to your account in heaven more righteousness whenever you go to believe in any promise in that word of God. And you know, at the end of 1 year's time, bless her heart, Sarah, she had her neighbors come over. And I'm going to have to leave this to another time. I wanted to preach a sermon tonight on God made me laugh. Do you know that's in the Bible? God made me laugh. God wants people laughing. And Sarah's the one that said it. And I can just hear Sarah just cackling and laughing away. She just laughed up a storm. And the neighbors said, what in the world is she laughing about? Well, I said, haven't you heard? She's fixing to have a young'un. What is impossible? Why, she's 90 years old. Never heard of such a thing. Why, can't be. Imagination. She's getting old and fat. I'll tell you, one day, baby Isaac was born in that house. And she who had laughed and had worshiped and had praised the Lord, she's laughing up a storm now. He who laughs, laughs, laughs best. Because, you see, Sarah says, by faith receives strength from God in her old age. And can you imagine what God would deal with that lady, that 90-year-old woman? He not only gave her that young one, but he had to do a miracle in her body. I won't go into all of the ramifications of that, about how those bones and all like that have to be just so flexible, everything just had to be done just fixing so to have a human. But I do want you to know this, that he brought her back to youth again. How do I know? When I go over there to chapter 20, old Abimelech saw her. Lord have mercy, a 90-year-old woman who had been wrinkled all, and he saw her, this young king. He saw her and fell in love with her and he wanted her. God can reverse the age process and make the old young, at least act young. Bless God. God's big God. I hope you got in contact with him because he is able. Listen, he is so able that one day Paul said over there in Romans, he said, don't you find fault with these weak saints in this church? That's a good lesson for all of you too. It's in Romans chapter 14, if you like to go there. He said, don't you criticize these weak ones in this church house here, for God is able to make them stand. Even though they're weak now, they're not going to be weak all the time. God is able to put a backbone in them like a saw log. Bless God, he's an able God. Listen at it again. God is able to change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body according to the working of his mighty power, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. In Philippians 3:21. Moses, how big is your God? One of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture is found over there in the book of Deuteronomy. And in the 25th verse of about that third or fourth chapter, he said, God, you have begun to show unto me your greatness. Well, I didn't know you're that big. You know what God had done? Say, if you were traveling through the wilderness with those children of Israel, not only had God made a way in that Red Sea for them, but listen what he did now. They're walking through hot, blazing, waste, howling wilderness. That's the way the Holy Spirit describes it in the Bible. Their feet did not swell. Their shoes did not wear out. God got in their shoes. They couldn't wear out. On top of that, it says their clothes waxed not old. Now figure that one out. For 40 years traveling, your clothes don't get old. Say, that's something else. What else? God. Every day, he brought down for 2.5 million people manna, rained it down from heaven, right in their camp. He gave them their each day their daily bread. And he not only gave it to them, but listen at this. Everybody was supposed to get a certain amount. Everybody was rationed, and it was a good supply. But every one of them had to ephah of bread. I believe that was ephah. And everyone had to have his certain amount, old and young alike. And after everyone had gathered in his portion, which was ample, he who gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And the Bible says this, there are some people who even gathered more than they should. They didn't obey God. They went past the rationing. And you know what happened to that bread? You walk by that man's house, Mr. Goldberg's house, you know what he done? He got too much. And it stank. And it bred worms. You could tell who had disobeyed God around there. You could tell who disobeyed God. They gave themselves away. But listen, that isn't all. When God rained that bread down from heaven, he not only gave ample for everybody, but the Bible tells us this, that God gave him the surplus. Because he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think. And what happened? The Bible says this, that all that was left over that they couldn't gather up, when the sun got hot, it all melted. You know something else? But this is funny. God says, Moses, take some of this manna. There's some little children that coming up now, they'll never seen this manna. but I want them to see it. Gather up a vessel, a ephah of manna, and I want you to put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And you know this, he put it in that Ark of the Covenant, and it traveled with them for 40 years in the wilderness, and even after that time, and there it was, the manna never stank, it never bred worms. How can God keep it there when you obey God, and it won't keep when you disobey God? Too much for me. What kind of a God have you got? Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. What are you persuaded of? That he is able. Able what? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. He is able to keep. Keep what? Only that which I've committed to him. How much have you committed to him? He'll keep what you commit. He won't keep what you don't commit. Amen. Say, didn't he say, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass? Maybe we're not kept as well as we should be because we're not committing. Amen. Ouch. Oh me. I want you to know there is no problem that you and I have that is too big for God's power, and there is no person too small for God's love. Do you hear that? God loves you tonight. How big is he anyhow? Well, I want you to know this, that no situation stymies him. Bless God forever. When we begin to plug into the power of house of God, the scripture says, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. The people doing exploits? Yeah, the people that know God. No wonder the Lord tells us in this word that this life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I won't go through tonight telling you all that I'd like to, because I'm about 3/4 of the way through, and I can see that clock is tormenting me again. Do you know, children of God, one day the Lord Jesus, by a miracle of God's power, was born contrary to the laws of nature. Jesus was miracle born. Supernaturally by the power of Almighty God. Human reasoning cannot figure it out, but he's born that way anyhow. Born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost. A miracle birth. And if you don't believe in this miracle birth, you can't even get saved. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the miracle of God's power, you got to believe in miracles in order to get saved. You got to believe that God raised him up from the dead. Then thou shalt be saved. You got to believe in miracles. Some of you say, I don't believe in miracles. They can't get saved. Listen, the God of heaven, if he can't perform miracles, he isn't God. But being that he is God, bless the Lord, he could take that widow woman who had debtors come over to her house and said, listen here, woman. I know your husband's dead. He was a prophet. We're going to take your children and we're going to put them out to work off the debt. And she cried to the Lord, and God says, go on over and see Elisha, my man, my prophet. Elisha, they're going to take my children away from me, and I'm going to lose my house and all that we've ever owned. He said, here's what you do. I want you to go to all of your neighbors and ask them to give you some empty vessels, big vessels, little vessels, any kind of size vessel, but get all the vessels you can get. And bring them to your house, and not a few. And can you imagine that lady going out and her children? And every one of them going, you have any vessels that we could borrow? We only want empty ones now. And so they come home with an arm full of vessels and pass all the neighbors by on the street. What in the world's the matter with them? Carrying all of those vessels, took them into the house and went on out and collecting more and brought them back and went out and got some more. What in the world's going on around here anyhow? Why, I can see all the neighbors are poking their heads out the doors and out the windows and wonder what's going on. Never saw anything like this before. And then after they got the last of them that they could get, now, all empty, they had them laying on the floor, they had them up on the stools, they had them up on the table, they had them up in the window ledge, they had them just everywhere, even on the bed. Every room in the house full of vessels. And then God says to her, through Elisha, close the door. I'm not going to have anybody peeking around here when I get through. And God said, you see that little vessel oil you got over there? She said, yes. He said, I want you to take that vessel and start filling these pots up. A little vessel that wasn't even big enough to fill one pot, much less all of them. So she said, all right. Her faith, she said, well, God won't make a monkey of me. He's big. He's God. And so he just must have done this for a purpose. And I did what he said do. When you believe God, faith without works is dead, being alone. But faith, when you act your faith, then God is turned loose towards you. That's active faith. And, you know, start pouring it into the vessels. And one got filled up. And out of that little vessel, fill up a big one. That little vessel filled up another big one. And until every vessel in that house was full, if there had been any more vessels, they would have been full. She didn't have room for any more vessels. And it didn't stop pouring until she stopped pouring. And then she went to the man of God. And she said, man of God, I've done what you said. He said, now here's what you do. Sell all of that oil. God made oil out of nothing. Sell the oil, pay your debt. And you'll not only have enough money to pay the debt, but you'll have enough money to live on the rest of the way. Say, you got a God like that? He hadn't changed. Doesn't your Bible say he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? One day the Lord Jesus. Can I give you another thought too? I want to talk about the bigness of God tonight. Helps my faith, and I sure hope it'll help yours. One day our blessed Lord Jesus had 5,000 men, plus women, always more women come to church than men. And then all of their youngins, all of their children. In those days, they had big families. So I estimate that at least be 15,000, maybe 20,000 people there. Jesus said, I can't send them away hungry. Disciples, give them to eat. He says, what? We checked the treasure. Judas is the treasure. And we checked with him. We only got 200 pennies. That's not enough for all of these people. And then one of the disciples, bless his name, Andrew, dear old Andrew, says, Master, we found a boy here. He'd been so interested in what you had to say, he hadn't even eaten his lunch. And he's got five little old dinky loaves and two fish. Couldn't be real big for a little boy to carry. And Jesus said, bring them to me. Brought them to Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, blessed them, break them, and gave them to the disciples. He said, all right, distribute this among the people. The Bible says they all ate and were filled. The Bible says that Jesus said, take up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You find that in John chapter 6. And you know what? When they got through, they gathered up 12 baskets full. Started out with five little dinky loaves that wouldn't even fill one basket and ended up with more than they started with after everybody got filled. I don't know. How big is your God? God of the Bible is a mighty big one. One day Jesus used Peter's boat to fish with. And after he's through preaching, he said, Peter, launch out in the deep. Peter said, Master, we toiled all night long and hadn't caught a speck of nothing. I like this though. Nevertheless, that's a good word. Nevertheless, at thy word, go. Let down our nets for a draught. And when they threw out the net, they enclosed a great multitude of fish until their nets break. You brethren know that. The net break. Peter called to their brethren, James and John, and another boat, come over and help us. And they filled their boat until the thing was about to sink, and filled up the other boy's boat until it was about to sink. And what did Peter do? He fell down before Jesus. He said, Lord, you just depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I've never seen it on this fashion. I want you to know that this Jesus is God. You hear me? Jesus is God. How do I know? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Father said to Jesus in Hebrews 1, Thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you remain. Do you get that? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Just spake it into existence. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Tells us over there in Psalm 33, 6 through 9. I want you to know He's big. This Jesus, all things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him is life, and the light is the light of men. I'll tell you something about Jesus. This Bible tells us over there in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3 and in verse 9, something about Jesus' power in this creation of this world. And it tells us that by Him all things consist or are held together, in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. This blessed Lord, He can do anything. In closing, I want you to know this. In Hebrews 7, 25, it tells us this. For He is able. Able what? To save them to the uttermost. Some preachers have used this word. He is able to save them to the guttermost. However low you've gone in sin, there's ability and power in Jesus Christ to make you a new creature. Make you brand new all over again. All the devil messed up in your life, Jesus can fix up. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. You can't get to God without going by way of Jesus. Can't bypass Him. He is the door. By Him, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. You who are saved know that works. And you know that He saved you. You who are not saved, and the reason why some of you are not saved tonight is this. You said, well, one of the reasons why I'm not saved is because I just feel I couldn't hold out. A lot of people feel, I just can't live that Christian life. It's too high a standard for me. So there's no need of me in a trying. Just couldn't make it. Seen a lot of Christians backslide and see a lot of them just flopping, fizzing around there and living the sin every day in thought and word and deed and can't help themselves. Why, if Jesus can't do any more from them than that, there's no hope for me. Do you see what a little God will do for people who are sinners? Do you see what He'll instill into their heart? It'll put unbelief in their heart. And a lot of people don't trust Jesus because we're not living it good. But when I go around with this great big God inside of me, amen, filled with all the fullness of God, glory to God, sin shall not have dominion over me. Why? Because if the Son shall therefore set you free, you shall be free indeed. If He sets you free, I'm free. And you go there to in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18 and verse 22, and He said this, therefore being made free from sin. Who did that? Jesus. I want you to know this Bible teaches being free from sin. So there's hope for you who are lost tonight. Bless God forever. And Jesus not only can save you from sin, He can keep you from the thing He saved you from. Because He's big. He's powerful. He said all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said all things have been delivered into my hand. He said I've got power to lay my life down. I've got power to pick it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Did you say it? He said it. Since you've got power, He wants you to have it. Power to make you what you can't make of yourself. Power to make you whole. In our church today, closing illustration. Our churches today are filled with a lot of people who are weak and powerless. They don't want to be. They shouldn't be. God don't want them to be that way, just like they don't want to be that way. God wants you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To be able to pull on the whole armor of God, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But you know, unless we come in vital contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, We just can't make it on our own. Do you know? We were in the South a few days ago. And my wife, bless her heart, she's at Virginia's house, Wayne's sister. And Virginia said, I sure wish I could have some little baby chickens from these hens over here. They're so pretty and I like them, so I'd wish I could have some baby chickens. She said, well, you can. So she just got a bunch of those eggs. I think she got 15 eggs. She said, well, I know these are pullet eggs, but I think they work anyhow. And so she took those eggs and put them in a nest, and she went around listening to those hens. You know what she's listening for. Found one that was a clucking. Said, that'll make a good mother. She took that clucking hen, set him down on that nest with those eggs, and that hen sat there 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 21 days. I don't care what hen sits on eggs. If they're there for 21 days, those little chickens are going to pop in their heads right on out of those eggshells. And it sure began happening. Popping them on out here and there and there. And they worked and they worked and they worked. And Virginia went out there one day and she saw some little baby chicks poking their heads right through the feathers of that mother hen. And they're the cutest little things she ever saw. Just little fuzzy things. And, oh, she's so proud of that. So she got curious. She wanted to go and see how many there were. And I'll tell you this. You got to know how to handle a hen at a time like that. Because you'll get it. She's going to protect her young'uns. Well, anyhow, she found out that she had 12 eggs at hatching, and one of them is trying to come on out of there, and the poor little thing, he's struggling until he's weak. He didn't have the power to come on out of there. So she said, I'm going to help that poor little creature. So she just took that egg and the shell in the house and tried to help him break that shell, because those are tough shells on those eggs. Like you take those brown eggs and also those real pretty little pale green eggs. Maybe you never saw anything like that. But anyhow, they were there. And she helped peel that part of that, and that little old chick just exhaustedly just fell out on the ground. And I'm not on the kitchen sinks where she had it. And it just lay there. And she thought, oh dear, maybe I was told that you're not supposed to help them on out, that you could kill them that way. She felt so bad. She thought, well, the only thing I know to do is get a lamb, sun lamb. And she got over there near, and she just put the heat on that. Got the heat on there a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, man, get some of that heat on there. We need some heat in the church. And when the heat got on that, that little old thing began to wall its eyes around there and shake its head a little bit and frisk its feathers a little bit. And all of a sudden, got up on his feet. And in about a minute or two, it's running all over that sink. Just running all over everywhere. Bless God. I believe the reason why a lot of people are not running around more and get on the stir and the double for the Lord, that they're exhausted. They haven't got the power. But just get that heavenly heat on there. I would that you were hot or cold. Get some of that spiritual fire. Cloven tongues of fire set on those people on the day of Pentecost. I mean, it did something for them. And I believe as the fire of God falls, well, I'm through. Whether I want to be or not. Those of you who haven't got it, you can get it. Bless God. Hallelujah. Jesus, you sure make this word so simple that even us simple-minded people can understand it. You're the God of power. You're the God of might. You made that little old baby chick and made, Lord, us. And I know, Lord, that where we're not what we're supposed to be, you can make us what you want us to be. Because you said, Lord, that we're your workmanship. Oh, my. You said that we're created in Christ Jesus, the one who created all of these worlds. We're created too. And Lord, what a wonderful thing you did in that creation. Sure, you can do as much with us as you did with this world. So we just put ourselves in your hands tonight. Lord, those who are not saved, create in them a clean heart. David asked for one for himself, and give them a created clean heart. and renew a right spirit within those who've got a grouchy, a cranky, a cross spirit, maybe a weak spirit, a despairing spirit, a discouraged spirit. Let them know tonight, Lord, that you can give them brighter tomorrow by getting them in vital contact and in union with you. Dear Lord, we know that as in that little old nest of eggs, there are some eggs that won't hatch, that can't hatch, because the germ of life is not in there. And the more that poor hen sets on those eggs, it just turn out a bunch of rotten eggs. And Lord, we don't want to have any rotten eggs in the church. And we pray, Lord, that thou bring us into vital union with you, because you said, he that hath the Son hath life. Put that life in us tonight. You said, he that hath the Son hath life. Lord, let not one man, one woman, one boy or this girl leave out of this place without life, eternal life. And those who are here that have life, may they have life more abundantly. For that's what you came to give us, as your word said. Thank you for hearing our prayer. And in the Jesus wonderful name, Holy Spirit, brood over this congregation of people and bring us to yourself, that we may be truly thy people and the sheep of thy pasture. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.